last look at Proverbs. And I hope that you've seen something already of the wisdom and the practical wisdom that is to be found in the book of Proverbs, how real to life it is. But we couldn't finish a series on Proverbs without addressing this last topic, because the book of Proverbs is full of wisdom in this area. It has much to say about how we speak with other people, what kinds of things we say to other people, and the kinds of things we say about other people. So we're going to dive right into the passage that we just read. In the passage there that we read, the first kind of speech addressed is that of quarreling. Now, I'm sure many of you already know the familiar proverbs about a quarrelsome wife. There are five of them in total. Warning about a quarrelsome wife: she's like a constant dripping on a rainy day. It's better to live in a desert or even on the corner of a roof than with a quarrelsome wife. But I'm going to defend the ladies for a moment and say the reason why there's so much about the quarrelsome wife is because this is the warning of a father to his son about whom he marries. So men, you don't get off scot-free. And just in case you are thinking that the men aren't as quarrelsome as the women, there's a proverb for the men as well. We read it this morning in Proverbs 26, verse 21, as charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. The first warning is to stay away from quarrels that have nothing to do with us. That's in verse 17 of chapter 26. Like one who seizes a dog by the ears is a passerby who meddles in a quarrel not his own. The image is of two dogs that are fighting. But what happens if you grab one of those dogs by the ears and try to pull it away? Well, the dog simply turns on you. The wise person learns to stay out of other people's quarrels. Now, there are times when we should seek to help people resolve quarrels, but the image here is of a passerby, someone who has simply arrived on the scene, who knows nothing of what has gone before, of what happened prior to their arrival. If we're to help resolve a quarrel, well, there's a lot of information that we need to have. We're also sometimes quick to start a quarrel which we wouldn't have started had we known where it would end up. We read in Proverbs 17, verse 14, starting a quarrel is like breaching a dam, so drop the matter before a dispute breaks out. You see, before we start an argument, we better be sure it is worth fighting about. Because like a hole in a dam, once the water starts to escape, it is simply impossible to stop. The wise person gives careful thought before entering into a quarrel. But there's one thing that makes quarreling even worse, and that is gossip. We read in chapter 26, verse 20, without wood, a fire goes out. Without gossip, a quarrel dies down. Now, gossip can sometimes be true and sometimes be false. But generally, gossip is information that others would prefer was not known. Otherwise, it would be common knowledge. There'd be no excitement of telling someone the gossip. So gossip is the cause of quarrels and fighting. A friend tells you something, they've trusted in you, you tell someone else, it works their way back to your friend, and a quarrel is the outcome. But how much worse is gossip which is untrue? Look at what we read in verse 22 of chapter 26. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down to a man's inmost parts. In other words, when we listen to the words of a gossip, they go down deep and affect how we think about the person the gossip is about. It doesn't matter whether it is true or not. What we have been told has affected our view of the person who has been talked about. And for that reason, it's really important that a wise person can recognize a gossip. There are certain people, and when they tell you something, well, you don't take it as being accurate. You've learned over time that they are careless with the truth. Their words cannot be trusted. You hear what they say, but you don't swallow it. You don't accept it as true for how that information would affect how you view another person. You see, the Proverbs warn us that gossip is often driven by malice, simply wanting to put another person down, wanting to think less of someone else, even though we're told they carefully disguise it with their words. Now, false words are not only spoken when putting someone else down, but we can also speak false words when we're building someone up. Flattery is simply another form of lying. We read in verse 28 of chapter 26, a lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. We flatter people because we want them to like us. We tell people they look good, even when they look awful. We tell people they're good at something, even though they're terrible at it. We don't flatter them because we love them. We flatter them because we love ourselves and we want them to like us. That's how all those crazy people end up on X Factor, thinking they are the next big star. Nobody has ever told them how bad they really are. And flattery ends in ruin and public disgrace. Another proverb says, whoever flatters his neighbor is spreading a net for his feet. Flattery isn't being kind for someone. Flattery is setting a trap into which they will fall and make a fool of themselves. Now, some people don't flatter others, but they're well able to flatter themselves. They boast. They boast about their plans, what they're going to do, what they are going to achieve in life. But the Proverbs warn, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day will bring forth. They boast about themselves and their abilities, but the Proverbs warn, let another praise you and not your own mouth, someone else and not your own lips. You see, self-praise is no praise at all, and the wise person avoids boasting. Now, perhaps you're thinking that you don't do any of those things, or at least not many of those things. We'll widen your description of words for a moment. Are you quick to weigh in on an argument on Facebook? Do you find delight in retweeting a tasty piece of gossip that may or may not be true? Do you post photographs with the intention of boasting about where you've been or what you've been doing? Do you flatter people with comments because you think you have to or you're expected to? Now, of course, flattery feels good. It's nice to be told we're good at something. When we boast, we feel good about ourselves, our plans, and our abilities. But there are more important things in life than feeling good about ourselves. It is knowing the truth about ourselves. And a real friend doesn't flatter. A real friend confronts boasting. And even though that hurts, the wise person recognizes the benefit of such a friend. And so we finish by reading this verse, wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. You see, you need friends who don't say nice things to you that aren't true. You need friends that tell you the truth even when you don't like what they have to say. And you need to learn to be that kind of friend as well. So how should we speak with others? Well, first of all, we should speak thoughtfully. Let me read again from Proverbs 12, verse 18. Reckless words pierce like a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Wounds, words can kill, and words can heal. So we should speak thoughtfully. We should give thought to what we say, when we say it, and how we say it. Now we can understand why Proverbs says, when words are many, sin is not absent, and he who holds his tongue is wise. Before you write that comment on Facebook, simply pause and give some thought to what you are saying. Don't write down the first thing that comes into your head. Words are like toothpaste, it's often said. Once the toothpaste comes out of the tube, there is no putting it back in. Once it's out, and if you try putting it back in, you only make a bigger mess than was there to start with. Have you ever tried that, taking back something that you said that you know you shouldn't have said, and you end up making a far bigger mess than you started with? Well, the wise person learns to speak thoughtfully. And we speak thoughtfully because we want to honour God with our words. We should also speak truthfully. Now, speaking truthfully would put an end to most of our gossip. Speaking truthfully would put an end to our flattery. Speaking truthfully means that we would tell our friends things that they needed to know, even though we know it is going to cause them some hurt in the process. But we will do it because we love them, and we will accept those kind of words from others because we know that the wounds of a friend can be trusted. We speak truthfully so that we honour God with our words. We should also speak lovingly. That verse says the wounds of a friend can be trusted. You see, a friend not only speaks the truth, but speaks the truth with love. Growing up, I had lots of people who weren't afraid to tell me the truth. My classmates were quick to point out my big ears, buck teeth, spots, and strange haircut that my mother had given me. They had no problem speaking truthfully, but they didn't speak lovingly. But a friend tells you what they need to know, not so they cause you hurt, but because they love you and desire what is best for you. Sometimes we just need an encouraging word, and friends also do that. Proverbs 16 verse 24 says, pleasant words are like honeycomb, sweet to the soul and healing to the bones. So for people who want to honour God with our words, we will speak thoughtfully, truthfully and lovingly. Now, of course, there's a problem, isn't there? Because we don't speak in those ways. We don't always honour God with our words. And when we do speak badly about someone else or to someone else, afterwards, when we're filled with regret, we sometimes say to ourselves, what was I thinking? Now, that's a good question to ask, but we need to answer it at a deeper level than we usually mean when we ask that question. When I say, what was I thinking, what I mean is this usually: why didn't I just keep my mouth shut? Now, as I said, the book of Proverbs would agree, when words are many, sin is not absent, but he who holds his tongue is wise. There are many occasions that we speak when we would have been far better to simply keep our mouths shut. But let's ask this same question a little deeper. Instead of asking, why didn't I keep my mouth shut, I need to ask the question, where did those words come from? Now, I've sometimes heard people say, and maybe I've said it myself, I don't know where that came from. I didn't mean it. I wasn't thinking. But the truth is, we did mean it. We just didn't mean to say it. You see, our words are the overflow of our hearts. What we say reveals how we think. Jesus said, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and the evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For out of the overflow of the heart, his mouth speaks. So when we speak in a way that we regret, and we know we shouldn't, we should ask, what was I thinking? What was going on in my heart that I would speak those kinds of words to another person? And usually the answer to that question is not very pretty. We can have hatred in our hearts towards other people. Proverbs 15, verse 17. Better a meal of vegetables where there is love than a fatted calf with hatred. You can live in a big house and enjoy all of the best food, eat out in all of the best restaurants, but if the conversation around those meals are driven by hatred, it'd be better to share a bag of chips with the people that you love. Sometimes we comment on our men's barbecue about the difference between when we go to the pitching pot and we have a man's barbecue and the barbecue we have together as a church. The church barbecue, the table is filled with salads. The men's barbecue, there's barely anything green in sight. Just meat. It's a man's barbecue. Now we've seen that the book of Proverbs is a man writing to his son. This is someone used to a man's barbecue. And yet he says he would rather have a table full of salads than his man's barbecue. When we speak nasty words to others, hurtful words, we need to ask ourselves, why is my heart filled with hatred for that person? And only then will we look to God to change our hearts and therefore our words. Sometimes words spill out of our mouths, not because of hatred, but because we are angry. We usually get angry when someone prevents us from getting our own way. We read there this morning in Proverbs 27, verse 4, anger is cruel, and fury overwhelming. We speak cruel words to people out of angry hearts. You tell your parents you hate them when you don't really hate them. You're just angry with them because you didn't get what you wanted. When you were younger, you would tell your friend at school that if they didn't do what you wanted, you wouldn't be their best friend any longer. And even though you knew it wasn't true, you knew that your words were cruel and that they would hurt and that they would achieve what you wanted them to achieve. Cruel words come out of angry hearts. And it's not just cruel words that come from angry hearts. Proverbs says, a quick-tempered man does foolish things. You see, when we're angry, we say and we do things which we later regret. When we speak cruel words, we need to ask ourselves, why am I so angry with that person? What has become so important to me that I love it more than I love them? And only then can we look to God to change our hearts and therefore our words. That proverb I read in 27 verse 4 continues on. Anger is cruel and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? The truth is that the worst things that we have to say to others come from jealous hearts. We put down something someone else has because we want it and we don't have it. We put down someone else's achievements because we are jealous of the abilities that they have. We speak bitter words out of bitter, jealous hearts. And when we do so, we need to ask ourselves, why am I so jealous? Why aren't I content with the abilities that God has given me? And only then can we look to God to change our hearts and therefore our words. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us that we speak such sinful words? Well, the problem is our sinful hearts. And for this reason, the Proverbs tell us to guard our heart above all other things. I want to show you one verse in three different versions says. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. And each will just give a little bit more insight to us of what the intention is. Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart with all diligence. It will determine the course of your life. You see, this is what we need to understand. Everything we do flows from our hearts. And the worst thing that we can do after a series like this in the book of Proverbs would be to go away determined to submit to authority, determined to work harder, determined to give more of my money to God and to the poor, determined to keep myself sexually pure, determined to keep to be careful about how I speak. You see, if that's all I'm left with at the end of a series like this, the truth is we are destined for failure, because all of those things are only the overflow of our hearts. And that's why each of the things that we've looked at over these weeks has had a subheading that began with this, these words, honouring God. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And so my longing is that you have a desire to honour God by your attitude to authority, to honour God with your attitude to work, to honour God with your money, to honour God with your sexual desires, to honour God with your words, to honour God with every area of our lives. Otherwise, all it is outward behaviour that we've managed to clean up a little bit without any lasting change of our hearts. Lasting change comes from hearts that are changed. A heart that submits to God and his authority. A heart that is filled with love for God and his will. A heart that desires to please God above all other things. And only Jesus can give us such hearts for God. Only Jesus died for all of your foolish, sinful choices. And only Jesus can put you on the path of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So if you're to walk this path of wisdom, you must first of all turn from the foolishness of your sinful choices. Commit yourself to God's wisdom in his Son, Jesus. And then out of a heart that has been transformed and is being transformed, you keep listening to the voice of wisdom and walking in the path of wisdom, knowing that only Jesus can give us the life that we were made to enjoy. This life of love, first for God, and then for others. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We recognize once again that there is pain in hearing your word at times, as you open up our hearts and reveal the sinful attitude of our hearts to us. But Father, we know that without that painful opening of our sinful attitudes, that there can be no real change of behaviour that will last in any way. Father, we pray that you would help us to recognise the ways in which we use our words that cause hurt and harm to other people. That you would help us not to just discount it, but to recognise that it's a problem of our hearts that only you can change. And that, Father, we would continually turn away from that sinful action, sinful attitude, look to you both for forgiveness and strength to live differently. And we ask this in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, as we come to our time around the Lord's table, we're going to sing number 1075. We talked there about the need to honour God with lots of different areas of our lives. And this song really is simply speaking of something.